Welcome to this week's edition of Mountain Outhouse News. I'm your host, Jam Jam. This is the crazy to happen in running this week. This week's stories include Jim's 50-mile world record, a marathon finish line blunder at Glass City, and a Tiger Claw recap. We kick off this week's show with a recap of Hoka One One's 100K Carbon X event, surrounding their launch of their new carbon-plated shoe that took place in the Sacramento area this weekend. The event was slated to feature some of their top athletes chasing down the 100K world record in a closed race just accessible to their own people. A concurrent 10x10K relay was also staged, but the headliner of the show was clearly Jim Walmsley. The route was held on a combination point-to-point race from Folsom to Sacramento, and then a series of loops to cap off the event. There would be an official 50-mile split point that could be used to set a record along the way to the full 100K finish. One caveat is a runner who set a split at 50 miles would need to finish the full race distance. Things started hot between Tyler Andrews and Jim Walmsley, as Andrews built up a bit of a lead on the point-to-point section, and both were well under record pace. Once they hit the loops, Jim accelerated, and after catching Tyler, Tyler quickly lost momentum, eventually dropping from the race. Walmsley slowed as the heat and effort of the day began to take its toll on the runners, and he realigned his goals and set his sights on shooting for the 50-mile world best. Jim was able to squeak under Bruce Fordyce's world best of 4:50.51, set way back in 1984. Jim's 4:50.08 is quite a stunning time. As soon as he hit the mark, it was clear from the live stream his shot at any record at the 100K distance was over. Kudos to Jim for making a splash at the road ultra distance. It'd be cool to see more athletes compete head-to-head at road distances in the future. I think there's an excitement factor to seeing just how fast runners can go with these longer distances. It'd be fun to see this type of coverage and hype going into either our 100K or 50-mile road championships, or at least another big road ultra that can be accessible to all. As for the rest of the event, Hideki Yamauchi went on to pass Jim and win the 100K race in 6:19.54. Second place went to human ultra metronome Patrick Reagan, who looked solid all day, on his way to a personal best of 6:33 at the distance. Yoshiki Takada, also of Japan, was third in 6:52, while Jim did jog it in for 7:05 and a personal best. Mike Wardian was fifth in 7:29. Seoul women's finisher Sabrina Little finished in 7:49. Now that we have this new best 50-mile time, it has sparked an interesting discussion on Twitter about the fastest 50-mile split time at Comrades. Obviously, some fast times have been run there at the world's largest annual ultra, but since the 50-mile distance isn't recognized as a standard worldwide, it doesn't get the attention it does in the US. If Comrades did have an official certified 50-mile split and timing mat, Jim's time may actually not be the fastest ever run by a human. Although I couldn't find split times, Quan Walker on Twitter calculates that when David Gatebe set the Comrades record on an 89.28 kilometer course back in 2016, he went through the 50-mile mark somewhere in the 4:43 range, while someone else calculated 4:45. Without a mat, we can only guess, but it does look pretty clear based upon some simple math that it had to have been under Jim's 4:50 time. I guess we'll just have to wait for Jim to not only shoot for the 100K world record, but also to race Comrades, which I'm pretty sure we'll see both in the next couple years. In a follow-up to another record-setting stunt run at the Marathon Distance and the Breaking 2 project, Eliud Kipchoge has announced that he's planning another sub-2 attempt, this time in London in October. The project will be backed by Britain's richest man, Jim Ratcliffe, who owns a petrochemical company, Ineos. The attempt will aim to give Kipchoge every possible advantage to crack the 2-hour mark. They're trying to have a 3-week weather window where they can choose the date only if it looks like they'll have perfect conditions, nice cool weather, and no rain. The inaugural Tiger Claw race took place up in Washington this weekend. The event was staged by our good friends Ethan and Kimberly Newberry, aka the Ginger Runner team, and it looks like it went off pretty swell. The unique 3-loop Choose Your Own Adventure course combined for a total of 22 miles. Race winner was David Laney, who won in 3 hours, 13 minutes, 24 seconds, running the loops in the yellow, pink, then white order. Second place went to Team Sombra member Gus Gibbs, who was next in 3 hours, 17 minutes, literally asking for some mezcal as he crossed the finish line. Attaboy. Paul Weeks was third in 3 hours 29 minutes with a white, pink, then yellow loop order. As for the ladies, C. Devo took the win in 3 hours 55 minutes, followed up by Maria Delzot in 4 hours 2 minutes, and third place went to Ladia Haley in third place, just 1 minute back. Shout out to the Newberries for pulling off what looked like a fun, well-organized inaugural event in the Pacific Northwest. The Hotfoot Hamster Fixed Time Race kicked off the three-race Nardini Series held at the historic Nardini Manor, former home of the Across the Years run in Buckeye, Arizona. 95-degree temperatures didn't stop the 24-hour runners from getting in some solid mileage on the 500-meter certified gravel track. John Maroshik was on top with 125.64 miles. That's 404 laps, folks. And quite a bit ahead of second place Jordan Schmidt with 110 miles. Your women's champ Zenobia Baca squeaked in just over 100 miles, and while second place went to Noel Quinn for the women in 74.3. The North Face Endurance Challenge landed in New York over the weekend. And birthday boy himself, Patrick Caron, landed himself a big win in the 50-mile distance in 7 hours, 34 seconds. Shout out to Patrick, and happy birthday, friend. For the ladies, it was fellow Solomon athlete Eliza LaPierre taking the victory in 9 hours, 19 minutes, good for 9th overall. After getting an opportunity to visit Utah's Bonneville Salt Flats last summer, I'm now super intrigued about the Salt Flats Ultra events. This year's edition took place this weekend, and a total of 31 runners finished the full 100-mile distance. First place went to Steph Whitmore in 19 hours, 12 minutes, while first place male was just a bit back in 1921. If you've never visited the Salt Flats, it's an odd place to run. The salt itself is quite moist and crunches as you run across its barren landscape. It really speaks to the vast uniqueness of our sport that an event even exists there at all. We reported a while back that November Project and the North Face had parted ways, and now we see why. Brooks has formally announced they will be picking up the primary sponsorship of the Free Fitness Movement worldwide, and will be co-sponsoring their events and summits going forward. We have a quick update to the 2019 upcoming Trail World Championships to land in Portugal June 8th. Zach Miller has withdrawn and his spot was passed off to David Kilgore. Kilgore was fourth at the formidable 50K earlier this year. A finish line blunder at the Glass City Marathon in Toledo got some traction this week after first-time marathoner Christian Floyd broke the finish line tape meant for women's marathon winner Amy Manning in a video clip that went viral. In the clip, Manning shouts, "You asshole!" at Floyd as she crossed the line. It's a pretty terrible scenario, and with the clip playing out online without much context, it's easy to condemn either runner for what played out at the finish. If you look closely at the clip, you can see that the backside of the finish line tape was blank, so Floyd had no idea it was meant for the women's winner, just meters behind him. He also claims he didn't know Manning was the women's lead runner. He was simply focused on getting to the finish. The finish line itself is also coned off in the home stretch, with what I'm guessing is a different distance coming in on one side, maybe a half marathon, and marathoners on the other. Floyd really had nowhere else to go to cross the line other than through the tape, as he was following the cones laid out by organizers. At the end of the day, it looked like really poor timing and a finish line design that may be improved in the future. As for Manning, the race organizers were able to reset the clocks and restage her moment of victory. At the end of the day, I think it's a reminder in this day and age, it can be helpful to take a pause and look deeper than surface level at these types of controversies. This next story is a tough one for me personally. After a sudden illness, prolific ultra runner and a longtime member of the Across the Years family, I'm heartbroken to report that Matt Watts has passed away. Matt has not only 1,122 lifetime miles accumulated at Across the Years, but he also has 95 lifetime 100-mile finishes and was nearing that coveted 100-100s, a number that only a few have reached. I've crossed many times over the years with Matt, not just at ATY, but many other ultras across the country, and he will be sorely missed. It's really just hard to believe. Condolences go out to his wife, Ann Watts, who was just as active at the ultra running events across the country many times running alongside Matt at these events. And know that we're all thinking about you and are with you in this tough time. Matt will always be remembered as an inspiration to us all. And with that, thanks for tuning in to episode 144 of Outhouse News. Thanks for checking out the show, and we'll see you next time. If you have crazy stories to share or a question or feedback for the show, please leave a comment below. If you'd like to directly support the show financially, consider becoming a Patreon supporter of this channel, or pick up this custom pair of Jam Jam's chili sunglasses online. Links are below. Have a good week.